Let me just pray again before we come to that passage. Our Father, we come to these ancient words and we do so with confidence, believing that they are ever true and that they have important things to say to us tonight, so that we are not led astray, that we are not confused, that the enemy of our souls does not sow seeds of doubt and despair in our mind, that it is possible to know the truth and to be set free by the truth. And we just ask that you would help us as we seek to understand these few verses. And we do pray your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know how well you did at spot the difference, but we also say, all that glitters is not gold. I must say, when I go to a jeweler's shop, I'm not sure what's gold and what's not, but the specialists know how to test the real thing. It might look impressive, but it may not be the real thing. So all that glitters is not gold. John's letter is written to express that warning to Christian believers. He's concerned that they should have assurance about what it is they believe, and he's concerned to emphasize the importance of that. And he's basically, through this book, we're up to chapter 4 now, there's been three tests that keep coming up again and again. There's a doctrinal test that asks us the question, what do we think about Jesus? Who is Jesus? What has he done? Why is it important? There's the moral test. Are we obedient to God's word? Then there's the relational test. Jim looked at that last week in terms of love. Do we love, really love, tangibly love our fellow believers? Those are three tests that keep coming up again and again. And what this little section is really challenging us about, the importance of being discerning. It's not about being smart or having more information necessarily. It's discerning between what is true and what is not true. And I guess one of our greatest needs, next to becoming more and more like Jesus every day in holiness and likeness to Christ, one of the greatest needs alongside that is the need for spiritual discernment. We're too often influenced by the spirit of the age rather than the Holy Spirit of the risen Christ. And so there's this great need for spiritual discernment that can tell the difference between true and healthy and good and right Bible teaching and that which claims to be Bible teaching but is not healthy, is not good, is not true. In fact, it is destructive to the Christian life. Now, it's very easy, living in our pluralistic age, in our postmodern age, for these views of Christ to be eroded. The loss of Bible knowledge. There's lots of data out there. George Barna is a guy in America who's been doing all these statistics for years, that whilst we've got so much resources, so many versions of the Bible, so much material, there is still a great lack of Bible knowledge and Bible understanding and indeed Bible reading, even within the professing evangelical church. So if you don't know God's word, then it's very difficult, isn't it, to know the difference between truth and error, whether you're being taught the word of God or something else. And that's why John's so concerned to call us in this passage to spiritual discernment. You have your outline there in front of you. There's just these three things that we want to try and look at this passage. We can't say everything that is in this passage, but we do want to say a few things. Firstly, what is the test? Well, it's this doctrinal test. And you'll notice how he opens. It's quite an interesting exhortation. He's saying, beloved, do not, it's in the negative, do not believe every spirit. So he's saying, you need to realize that there's all kinds of spirits. There's all kinds of things that's been passed off as truth, they may use the same words that the Bible uses, but their meanings can be very, very different. You might hear a lot about worship, for example, and the whole idea of worship can mean something entirely different from what the teaching of the Bible in terms of its objective towards God. You hear a lot today of leadership, but that can sometimes be more from a business world than from the Bible. There's all kinds of false spirits, of false teachers. And so he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, verse 1 again, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Test what is being said. So John is saying, be discerning. When someone comes and teaches you, you are to measure that teaching according to the scriptures. You're to do what they did in, is it Acts 17? The Berean Christians, searched the scriptures after they'd listened to the Apostle Paul. What did they do? They listened to what Paul said and they looked at the scriptures. They didn't just run out and accept everything that was said. And it's that kind of thing that John said here. Test the spirits. Listen carefully. Just as you analyzed the two pictures and you thought about it and you looked at it, and then we saw the real thing. And the more we do that with the Bible, the more we read our Bible, the more we read about Christ. And so they went back to their Bibles. And that's at the beginning, Lee read from chapter 1. John is an eyewitness to all the teaching of Christ. He is one of the apostles. So the church has been given, I think I said the other week, the apostles' doctrine is part of the foundation on which the church is built. So the apostles' authority is Jesus' authority. There's no difference. Both are authoritative and handed down to us. And so John is saying, test what you hear to every teacher. And notice what he says in verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges, or the ESV has, confesses. Not just, oh well, Jesus is Lord. But every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. So there's tests. Well, why? Well, again, go back to verse 1. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Why? For many false prophets have gone out into the world. He wants us to go beyond the words that are being said by these false teachers to get to the source. You see that in verse 6. We are from God, John says. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's a sound doctrine, a sound truth that can be known. And so you've got these many false prophets competing for our hearts and minds. We need to look beneath the surface of what's being said to the source of what is being said. It is either divine source or a demonic source. The Apostle Paul calls false teaching in his letters the doctrine of devils. The devils believe, we're told, and tremble. So it either comes from the Father who is above, or it comes from the Father of lies. There's two sources. From the Holy Spirit or the spirit of error. And it's so important because it can affect people's eternal destiny. You don't have to go far today in our media, our TV, our radio, or in the internet to find Christian, so-called Christian teaching that says many false things about Christ. And we need spiritual discernment. We hear people who claim to be teaching God's truth. We need to measure that truth according to God's word. Because you remember back in chapter 2, verse 18, it speaks about the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, I'm not going to go into all the whole theories of the Antichrist. You have Paul saying to the Thessalonians, it's that man of lawlessness. You have the great beast in Revelation. But the term Antichrist means both opposed or against Christ, but can also mean instead of Christ. So there's many antichrists. Somebody may not be outrightly opposed, but there's something else in the place of Christ. That's the meaning. And you see in our world today the opposition and hatred of Jesus Christ in so many ways in everyday life. We see it in the spirit of the age in which we live. Why is it when somebody bangs their hand or knocks their knee, they don't say, "Oh Buddha"? They take Christ's name in vain, don't they? They're opposed to Christ. We see it in the media every week. You might have seen the 7:30 report. Was it Monday night or Tuesday week? Tuesday night. The big hullabaloo over the Sydney Anglicans having the word "submit" in their new marriage ceremonies. And there was an outcry. And you listen to these people on the chat shows and 7:30 report and the Channel 10 project. It's opposed to the rule and the teaching of Christ. And you had a young couple on there saying how it reflects marriage and Christ is the king of the church and we are to submit to him. They were speaking the truth. And yet, it was as though you guys are way out of touch. The spirit of the age. We see it in the whole gay marriage debate almost every week on Q&A. The spirit of the age is shouting loud and clear and calling on government to get with it. To get with the age. There are many false prophets, many spirits opposed to Jesus Christ. And can you imagine Jesus Christ being on Q&A? If you're a Q&A fan, I like watching it. But you get a bit tired of the same things coming up again and again. Can you imagine Jesus Christ on Q&A and he's speaking the truth? Can you imagine him being applauded? It's inconceivable. He'd be the laughingstock. They'd be very much against him for his exclusive claims to be the Son of God. He is one who comes from God. He is God. He's very different from Muhammad and from all the other religious leaders. He'd be laughed out of the joint. So why are we to be discerning? Because there are many false prophets have come. It was true in John's day, and it's true in our day. You see, we're living in an age that says it doesn't matter what you believe. It's all dumbed down. Islam, Catholicism, Judaism, any other ism, Christianity. Look, we all believe the same thing in the end. No, 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 it's not true. We do not believe the same thing in the end. Reincarnation, coming back as some other form of life, is not the same as regeneration. Being made alive, being quickened in your soul, being made alive to God. Completely different. Completely different. Islam is not the same as Christianity. Islam doesn't believe in a Jesus who died on the cross. It is impossible for them to have a prophet like Jesus die on a cross. But that is the heart of the Christian gospel. It's a false truth. It's a false error. It's falsehood. That's our pluralistic age. It's the new tolerance. Everybody's right. Everybody's right. We dumb everything down. People will affirm you in anything you say. But friends, all religions are not the same. All the other religions have no crucified Savior, has no one who has claimed to be the Son of God. Isn't that what he's saying in verse 2? Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is from God. Very different from all other religious leaders. No other religion is like that. No other religious leader claims to be God in the flesh. You see, we live in an age where it's important not only to know what people believe, but it's actually as important today to ask, what do you not believe? And what do you not believe about Jesus? Now notice who he's speaking to in this little section. Look at verse 1. Beloved, or dear friends, the NIV puts it. Dear friends, in verse 4, you, dear children. He's not speaking to the elders who should be on the lookout for error and falsehood. They should be. But he's speaking to you and he's speaking to me. He's speaking to all Christians. That we are to be discriminating. Not judgmental, not harsh. And you'll notice where this little section comes in. It comes in between the section in love in chapter 3 that Jim looked at. And the next section is what? Love. Now sadly, there can be Christians who can shoot themselves in the foot and can be harsh and judgmental. But here is John, the apostle of love, and he is saying, you've got to be discerning. Don't be harsh, don't be judgmental, don't think you've got it all together. Because the people who are saying these things can be very nice people. Most false teachers are. But there's love here. It's love for the truth. It's love for the souls of men and women. The world wants us to dumb everything down, even Jesus. Let's just privatize it. Just keep it to yourself. Believe what you like, but keep it out of the public forum. If you work as a lawyer or a school teacher or a health person or whatever, or you're in the parliament, just keep it private. Believe what you like, but don't tell anyone. You see, it can be very intimidating for Christians. Some of you know what that's like. I can go to my study and I can study the Bible and I can preach sermons and it's not intimidating. Some of you got to go into places that's intimidating. Some of you people might have your job on the line if you were to start to say certain things and take certain stands. It's an intimidating world because everything's been dumbed down. But he wants these Christians to know that they can know the truth and believe the truth. Dear children, discernment, it needs to be said, is a spiritual matter. You see in verses 4 and 5, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They, we'll come to these verses a little bit more later, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world. And surprise, surprise, the world listens to them. Of course they will. We are from God. Whoever knows God, listens to us. Whoever is not from God, surprise, surprise, does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You're from God, he says. You've overcome the world. What great encouragement. We need to be reminded of that. This just isn't a matter of knowing more technical information about the Bible. It isn't a matter of you being smarter than somebody else. It's being able to discern what is true and what is erroneous. If the Spirit dwells in you, he who is in you, he's saying, he is greater than the world, greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. If the Spirit dwells in you, that Bible knowledge that you have will not lie empty or fallow, but will be used in your life. That's why there are some very humble people in terms of their intellectual abilities who know God far better than some intellectual geniuses. Why? Because it's a spiritual matter. We need the Bible in our hearts as well as in our head. Thirdly, how are we to do this? Well, firstly by asking, who is speaking and what is being said? That's a good question to ask. Look at verse 2 again. Read again from the end of verse 1. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit, and the NIV has the word acknowledges here, whereas I prefer the ESV that says that confesses Jesus Christ, and notice these words, has come in the flesh, is from God. Every spirit that does not acknowledge or confess Jesus as coming in the flesh from God is not a true teacher of God's word. Because you see, the Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus. He always shines the light on Jesus. Not on great miracles, not on great giftedness, but on Jesus. So ask the question, what are they talking about? And what are they saying? Are they talking about Jesus of the Bible? Are they saying that he has come from God? That he himself is God? Because every spirit that acknowledges that, but every spirit, verse 3, that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. There's how you know. Are they saying Jesus has come from God, fully divine, fully human? Or, you know, as they say today, well, you know, Jesus was, he was a very interesting man. He was a good man. He was an inspiring man. He had a lot of good things to say. But they lumped him with all the other religious teachers, religious leaders. He had some good things. He's some good things to say, like the Dalai Lama or like Gandhi or whoever else. But no, what does John say here? This is how you recognize the true Spirit. The true Holy Spirit acknowledges and confesses Jesus Christ has come from God. It's not just another man. The Holy Spirit loves to point us to Jesus. Jesus came from God in space and time. He was born into the world in human flesh, but he was there before the world existed. Other religions have human beings as their founders, but Jesus Christ is unique. And the Christian faith is unique because Jesus is God. Do you remember in the Gospels, Philip says to Jesus, "Show us the Father." And Jesus basically says, you're looking at him. I am God. I'm godlike. John says in this very letter, we have seen and touched and handled. We saw him. We listened to him. We went to worship with him. We saw his miracles. We heard his teachings. We saw his life. Eyewitnesses. And yet he is the one who has taken our frail flesh and come to die on the cross for us. Notice what John says later in chapter 4, verse 10. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Later on in verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, the exclusive Savior from sin. The world doesn't like it. It's not politically correct. You see, our debt is so great that only God could pay it. So God came in the form of man and humbled himself, became obedient to the death of the cross. Why did God become man? For us. To live the life that we could not, and to die the death that we deserve to die. He is from God. There's no other religion that claims that. There's no other religious leader who can stand beside Christ and pretend to be the same. The song we sing at Christmas, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see." Another song we haven't had for a while, "Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God." So ask, what are they saying about Jesus? And secondly, ask, who's listening? Look at verses 4 to 6. You, dear children, verse 5, they are from the world. We, verse 6, John speaking about the apostles. Who's listening? They are from the world, you are from God. And they speak from the world's viewpoint. That's what John's saying. Sorry, I can't pick it up here. They are from God and have overcome them. They are from the world, verse 5, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. So don't be surprised when there's lots of people following false teachers, because the world loves to hear their viewpoint reflected back to them. Again, if you're on Q&A and you reflect back the overall majority of the audience, they love it. Of course they're going to listen to you. Of course you're going to get the applause. But Jesus wouldn't get it. That's why falsehood and error are so popular. The world loves to have its own views reflected back to it. The world loves it when it even voices... Even when voices within the so-called Christian church reflect the world's views and they rubber stamp the world's views. Don't be surprised. So ask yourself, who's listening? Who's listening to this? Is it the world listening to the world's viewpoint? Well, don't be surprised if there's plenty of people listening. We need to recognize that in our hostile world, there's a hostility to God and the Bible and the Christian faith. The issue, you see, is who are you listening to and what are they saying? Does it point to Christ and to the truth of Christ? The true prophet, you see, verse 6, believes the Bible. We are from God, says John. He who knows God listens to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. If you know God, John is saying, you will listen to the apostles' teaching, what we have seen and heard and pass on to you. We are from God. And those who are faithful teachers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ will teach in accordance. And so those who know God will accept their teaching, and those who don't will reject it. They'll show that they really are of the world. We are from God, says John. So as we draw to a close, John is asking us, who are we listening to? And what is being said? What spirit is animating your life and driving your life? Is it the spirit of the world and of the age and of false teaching, or is it the spirit of truth? There are many people who claim to be the agents of God, the messengers of God, the heralds of God, who actually deny the word of God. And John says, you deny the teaching of the apostles. You show that you do not know God. We need discernment. Discerning what people are saying about Jesus. Do we believe the Lord Jesus as he is offered in the gospel, that he come from God? He is God. He's not just another Gandhi or another Dalai Lama. He is God. And what he says is completely different from every other religion. A crucified Christ is abhorred by Islam and laughed at by the world. And yet it's the very heart of our Christian faith. Do we believe in the Jesus of Scripture? And if so, do we submit ourselves to the Bible and accept it as fully true and authoritative for all matters of life and practice? Those are the tests John gives us concerning false teachers. And if we don't know Jesus today, Surely what we need more than anything else is to receive him for who he is, the Savior of sinners, the Savior of the world. Pray and ask him to give you new eyes and open your eyes for the first time, that you might truly see that he has come from God to die in your place for you, in order that you would be saved and that you could know the real Jesus. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. And we do need help to be courageous and bold, not rude, not judgmental, not harsh, but loving and yet clear and discerning and ready to count the cost for standing for you. Help us, we do pray, to be discerning people, and help us to know more and more of Jesus day by day, we pray, for his name's sake. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, "Be Thou My Vision."